Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh. And I'm feeling good.
Welcome to If Nothing Changes, Nothing Changes, Life Coaching with Deidre. I'm Deidre, your host, coming to you live on Inner Light Radio, broadcasting straight out of Richmond, California. Now, I know you could have listened to any of the thousands of podcasts on the radio, internet, or even satellite, so let me start off first for thanking you for picking mine. I am an organic therapist, personal mental trainer, self-esteem booster, good-hearted devil's advocate, relationship guru, archaeologist of the soul, and a boss, all rolled up into one, here to give you my perspective on life by guiding, deepening, and challenging your thoughts while influencing you with innovative, insightful information, not forgetting to motivate, provoke, and influence your actions while empowering, educating, and entertaining you. My show will be talking about life, dreams, relationships, love, happiness, health, wealth, fitness, careers, family, and everything else that goes along with all of that. This month, I'm continuing my women's wellness and health series. We have been talking about this for months now. Your new self-care habits should now include spa treatments, vagina health, cannabis healing, sound therapy, exercise and stretching, mental and emotional wellness, hair therapy, being part of a good, healthy community, getting your finances together, healing your inner body. And today, I want to talk about relationship healing, specifically healing after infidelity. Healing after infidelity is not about getting over it, but about confronting it head on. Couples who survive learn that intimacy is not the absence of conflict, but the presence of radical honesty. This often means exposing uncomfortable truths, addressing long-ignored resentments, and acknowledging the deeper fractures that existed long before the betrayal occurred. The emotional shock of betrayal can feel like trauma, which may include obsessive thoughts, intrusive memories, flashbacks, and the constant question, why? But you also feel the loss of safety, the rupture of reality, and the overwhelming disorientation can trigger deep emotional and psychological stress. Yes, as excruciating as infidelity is, it doesn't have to mark the end of a relationship. With structure, compassion, and commitment, the aftermath of betrayal can become a doorway to transformation. Healing is not about returning to how things were. It's about courageously rebuilding something new. It's about cultivating an evolved relationship founded on truth, emotional safety, and conscious love. Affair recovery involves truth-telling, grieving, repair, and renewal. When guided with care and integrity, this painful crisis can lead to a deeper understanding of oneself and one's partner, to ultimately achieve a stronger, more authentic bond. Healing from infidelity unfolds through a series of overlapping phases. Each stage builds upon the last, helping couples move from chaos towards clarity and reconnection. Today's guest is a stay-at-home mother of four, owner of Majestic Roses Kitchen, and wife of 13 years who has been living her best life until her husband hit her with a truth she wasn't prepared to hear. But instead of reacting like a lot of women, Malik is part of the 44% of women that stay in their marriage after infidelity, and they heal with their man. Malik, welcome to the show, Queen, for the first time. Glad you're here.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. Now, I know we got a lot to cover, but I do know that I had mentioned, Queen, you are an entrepreneur. Please tell us about your business and how you made it so successful.
Yes, I am the owner of Majestic Rose's Kitchen, and I do also have Griffin's Girls Sweet Drinks. There is something that came along actually during this process of finding myself. And I've been cooking since 9 years old and everything with my grandmother. So it made it kind of full circle and brought me back to a connection to her and taking off from cooking hot meals, meal prep, you know, getting them cupcakes and drinks and chips and snacks out at some soccer games, football games, whatever, you know, whatever needs to be done. I do barbecues. I'm here and you can find me at Molly Mrs. Griffin on Facebook or Majestic Rose Mrs. Griffin on Instagram.
I'm glad that it is getting successful. I love that journey about you connecting with your grandmother. So now tell us the big story. Share with us how you found out about your husband's infidelity, Queen.
Actually, it was actually coming to a time when it's a time when we were actually healing our relationship. We were actually in mid-reconnect. I had been going through pretty much depression, postpartum depression. Didn't even know that it go that long. I was going through that, and I also was dealing with premenopause, so I wasn't really understanding that. And last year, December 8th, 2025, maybe the weekend before that, good weekend, and that Monday, he hit me with, he had something to tell me, and he came out and told me, he's like, I fucked up, and he felt real bad, because we were going up, you know, in our relationship. We had been having our problems, but we had a big argument where we were able to hear each other and get through to each other, and his conscience just wouldn't let that sit there, knowing that we were going to a better place. And yeah, he came out and told me himself. And boy, when he came out and told me himself, I felt like my home, my foundation was being hit with a big ball, ran through it, tearing it down and everything changed in my life.
Did you even suspect it? If he hadn't have told you, you didn't even know?
To be honest, the infidelity part, no. Like I say, I knew that we were having problems, and he was a little bit more snappy and things like that. But as far as me thinking that he had went out there and did the do with somebody else, no. That never crossed my mind. What crossed my mind was maybe something else was sniffing around him, you know, gassing him up about, you know, oh, being into him, you know, and things like that. But as far as him sleeping with anybody, no, it wasn't no phone ringing off the hook at all times of the night. My husband wasn't not coming home or nothing. Our normal routine was our normal routine. Like I say, my husband was working 3 jobs, so he was still going to work, still coming home, still maintaining, wanting me, still just making me feel like I was wanted and everything. So no, didn't cross my mind. Like I just thought we were coming up on our 13 years of being together. So I just took it as, you know, we hitting a little bump in the road.
Wow, that's the part that makes us all tremble. You know what I'm saying? Is because you always hear that, you know, you see the, you know, makeup, or, you know, you see, you know, something different, or the phone is blowing up, or he taking phone calls outside, but none of that happened. And that's the part that's like, wow. Okay. All right. So after you processed everything, what made you decide to stay, Queen?
After I processed everything, I had to look at myself. I had to hear my husband. I had to hear what led us to that. I had to hear that my week wasn't perfect. No matter how much I thought I was the perfect wife, no matter how much I gave all of me, no matter how much I poured into him, I had to hear the things that where he wasn't getting filled up on. It hurt it, but that was his truth, and I had to listen to that. And also, I also had to learn how to speak up for myself as well, because I wasn't really doing that. I was holding a lot of things in, being content with things, thinking that, oh, he should know these things, when I had to realize that he can't figure me out unless I tell him.
So, did he explain it like it was your fault? Like, you know, whatever it was that you weren't filling up in him, as you say, that was his reasoning behind it? Or is he just telling you some problems that were happening? Does that make sense?
We went through that process as well. We went through the process, and when he first told me, he was getting it off his chest. He was letting me know, but as I dug deeper into the questions that I wanted to know, then that's when it went into the where he wasn't being fulfilled. He felt like I wasn't hearing him. He felt like he was repeating himself over and over, saying the same thing to me, and I just wasn't getting it. He said that he felt like in our sex life before our, you know, our children, you know, yeah, we were really spiced up. The oldest kids were out the way, able to take care of themselves. But as we had our last one, the 3-year-old now, it died down. Like I said, I went through postpartum depression. I suffered from the premenopause and everything. So it died down a lot. And he wasn't really understanding through a lot of it. He had this expectation of thinking, you know, that it's supposed to pop off every night if it can, or at least, you know, 2 and 3 nights out the week, instead of understanding that you lucky that we do it once a week. You know, some married couples are not getting that. So I found out, you know, how he was feeling about that as well. And then he held another thing of resentment towards me from something in the past where we had our problems. And that one was me. I actually blacked out on him in the middle of an argument and hurt him. So he had a lot of resentment about that as well, that I didn't know. Like I say, this brought up so much, and I had to be willing to listen to that, because me, I'm home taking care of the family. I'm cooking. I'm making sure you got clean clothes to go to work. I'm making sure your belly's full. I'm doing what I can, you know, trying to make sure that when you home and we get this time in, we can get the sex in and all that. But we did lose our friendship. We stopped being friends, and everything started being routine. I feel like I didn't notice it.
Yeah, well, it probably wasn't, well, you probably didn't notice it, because routine with you, especially when you have a small child, is a good thing. You know what I mean? Because it makes you, it reminds you that you're taking care of everything and you're making time for everything. But routine for, you know, on the outside looking in, they feel left out, because, you know, now everything starts getting a little mundane. So it's both people are telling the truth. So, and sometimes that part hurts. I get you.
Yeah.
So during this process, who's been your support team and how have they been helping you?
Oh my goodness. First I have to give thanks to the Most High, because he brought some women in my life maybe a year and a half, 2 years before all this happened. I met my sister Kiki. Oh my goodness, I think it just brings me to tears, because she is just a lifesaver. This woman came to me through a cousin, and she read me and told me this thing that nobody knew, just my birthday and my name and everything. And when I start going through problems, something in my spirit just told me to go back to her and her sisters, my sister's keepers. That name is so perfect, because when I tell you, they have kept me through this. She has pulled me out of my shell when times have gotten hard. She has called and checked on me just when she feels in her spirit that I'm not all right. My other sisters, they text me, they call me. They do everything to make sure I'm going to get through this, and I'm going to pull through this, I'm going to be all right. They pray over me. They stay in my sacred space with me. They let me know that this is not all, that there is something better at the end of this. They let me know no matter if I stay, they got my back. No matter if I leave, they got my back. He just blessed me with them. On top of that, I have a great church system. My bishop is our counselor, and he is so supportive, where he tells the truth to my husband, even when my husband don't want to hear it. So I can honestly say, by the grace of my creator, I am so blessed to have a great support system around me. When this happened, I was able to run to a family member who I've seen be married for 35 years, because that's what I want. That was the bigger picture for me. So I have a great support system, and it makes me emotional because I am so blessed now, from a child who had a hard, hard childhood, to be so blessed now. I am so grateful. I have so much gratitude to my creator. I am so blessed now when it comes to that question. So yes, I have a great support system, and I couldn't do it without all of them.
Girl, you almost got me choked up in here. So let's pull it together. Let's take a deep breath for a minute, because that really is nothing better. And I tell people this all the time, is when you have that village, when you have had a village, you can't, I don't understand these people who go alone, who act like they can just be an island. You don't need nobody. Mm-hmm. You ain't got no friends. Mm-hmm. Yet, I don't understand it, because that village, just like you said, it can bring you back from where you feel like you are jello, you are nothing, and your village will love you and support you right back to concrete, girl. Okay? Yes. So I know exactly what you were talking about. I know the power of the village that you're talking about. My sister's keeper is powerful. It helps all the ladies that are in there. And I know all you guys have had massive transformations because of, you know, the village that you guys have made together in this group, and how they have helped each other, which again, it was one of my points earlier when we, you know, I was talking about, we've had a whole, you know, this is Women Wellness Series. And, you know, we've talked about being part of a community where people love you, where they support you, you know, where they got you and they understand you. Powerful. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that you shared that. And I know it's just the brave of you of sharing all of this. I just can't thank you enough. So I know you and your husband have definitely taken some steps to get you two back on the right track. For those women who are listening right now, because I can already tell you, my phone is blowing up. People are texting me left and right. I got all kind of cry faces coming on. Girl, you got everybody all shook up. So now give them some steps for those that are going through what you're going through. What are some of the things that you did that keep you and your man got you back on the right track?
We start making time for each other. Not the family thing, just time for us to get to tap into each other. And we sketched out that time where we can just tap into each other to find out, you know, if we missed something this week, you know, or if make sure we on the right love languages and things like that. Because right now we are still in a tough spot, because like I say, it was like a wrecking ball that came in and tore our foundation down. And right now we are basically cleaning up and rebuilding on something totally different. So right now we are using all our tools from, like I said, taking that time to sketch out that hour to just tap into each other and just hear each other. And when we're done with that, we leave that there for the next time we do that, and we bring ourselves back to each other. We don't speak to each other rudely. You know, we start up our conversations, whether it's going to be a hard conversation or not. We start it up with ease, because we think about how we speak to each other. We don't want each other speaking to, you know, how they, like they said, when we was kids, we used to live by the golden rule, do unto others like you want done unto you. So we learned how to talk to each other. A softer startup. We stop holding on to things and having content with things and just being okay with it. Okay, it might hurt, but you have to get it out, you know. And if you think it's going to hurt that bad, take that minute, but you still have to get it out. You can't keep sweeping things under the rug. That does not work. You have to have the conversation. You have to be able to communicate with a person, and they have to be able to be comfortable to communicate with us without us snapping their heads off, because we think men don't have feelings, and they do. You'd be surprised that with that man that you dated, that is not the man that you are married to. When you were dating, his confidence was something else. But when y'all got married, what you think, how you feel about him and what you say to him, that affects him day to day. He cares about those things. You have to pour into that man the same way you want that man to pour into you. And you have to be that peace. You have to be that safe space. So even though y'all going to get into the argument, you got to remember that y'all not fighting each other. Y'all are fighting the problem to get the problem solved so the issue can be taken care of. So those are a lot of the tools that we've been using, and they've been working, and we've been standing on our love, like just really reminding ourselves of what made us fall in love with each other in the first place. What was our marriage? What made us go to that altar? What made us get married? What made us say, I do? We've been standing on that right now, and that's what's been holding us together.
How important was, and whose idea was it, to go and get some marriage counseling and get some therapy and get work in that area?
The surprising thing to me is it was my husband. It was my husband. That was another reason why I was willing to work in it, just to see how he was putting his all into it as well. Because this is not my first marriage. This is actually my second marriage, and my first one wasn't nothing like this. So I made sure to give the credit where credit was due, because I've been in the marriage where I had to leave because he cheated over and over again. There were 4 and 5 pages of phone numbers, all the text messages screenshotted and everything. And then on top of that, I had my second child with him. He's at the house taking pictures, sending it to a girl that he was fooling with while I'm at the hospital having his baby. And it was a lot. So I've seen both sides now, and I felt like this side was worth staying.
Wow. And you know what? That makes it even more powerful, is that you didn't have a trigger, you know, that, you know, come back and have you just react, even though, like you say, it's a different circumstance. It's a different person, a different marriage. So it was worth fighting for this time. And he did a lot of the work. I think sometimes that's the problem that we have, is that it doesn't matter who is the one who has cheated, but sometimes they don't do enough work. The other person doesn't feel like they're doing enough work. It's just like, dude, you put us in this situation, and now, you know, everything, you know, you're not, you know, it's almost like you're not working hard enough to get it fixed. Mm-hmm. But yours has been almost the exact opposite. This man has been doing more work than I know when you and I talk than I have ever heard any man do. So mm-hmm. that definitely, it's a different feel when you have two people working to try to get over this hump. And it's because, like you say, we're standing on what we knew we had in the beginning that we both lost sight of, right? So yeah. How do you get the trust back? That's one of the biggest questions. What do you require? How did you tell him you needed it? And how were you checking up on him? What's he done to make you feel that, you didn't see it the first time. How would you now not know? You know what I mean? Like, how are you trusting him?
And the trust is a step that takes day to day, because that's my biggest thing with him is, like I told him, I lost a lot of trust, but he has been working overtime to make sure, you know, that he can gain that. That's his thing. He say he wants to gain that back. His way of looking at that, like he told Bishop in therapy, he said he felt like he had a fine china vase that he dropped and broke, and he know that it's going to take time to get them pieces back together, but he's willing to do whatever it takes to get them pieces together. So when he's sitting up in here, if I say something about what you're doing on your phone, or he flicks in the show, oh, I'm not doing nothing here. If I call him and be like, what you doing? FaceTime me, let me see how, if I, and whatever kind of thing I feel, he's all right with it. He don't fight me about it. Because he says that he know he did this. He know this is something that he did.
And is this new for you? Because obviously you weren't acting this way in the past.
Oh, this is so new for me, Ms. Deidre, because I wasn't that type of woman. I came from, like I say, my first marriage, I was like that. And I didn't have to live like that this time. I didn't have asking questions about this phone. No, I didn't have any problems. Wasn't going off, wasn't ringing, wasn't nothing like that. So, but now, like, if I just get a tickly gut feeling in my stomach, I let them know I got it. I don't hold back on it, because I'm like, this is what you brought into our marriage. We didn't have these problems. You were smooth sailing, but whatever it is now, it don't matter. I let them know. He accepts that.
You said not a tickly gut feeling, okay? Just a tickly gut feeling.
Just a tickly gut feeling.
And he'd be quick. These are things people need to hear, because what happens is that when somebody apologizes for something that they've done, they also rush when you are supposed to accept it. And that, you know, it's like almost things, you know, once the apology comes, now everything can just go back. But it takes more than apology. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of action. And I think that's what I want to keep reminding those that are listening. And it takes a lot of action from both people, and not fighting and acting like, okay, you should be over this by now. No, you ain't going to tell me when I'm going to get over something this big. Right. And so you just need to keep doing exactly what your man is doing. Hey, dude, if I get that tinkly gut feeling, you just make sure that you have whatever it takes in order to make that tinkly gut feeling go away. Okay. Because I wouldn't even have had this had you not brought it on. So I love that. I love that you are saying that. What did you find out about yourself once you and your, I know you guys, that's what therapy does. It eventually gets to a point where everybody opens up. There's some aha moments, some breakthroughs, some trust, some crying, some snotting, some surprising information. How has that process been for you? And what have you found out about your husband or your husband when he opened up?
I found out from my husband that I wasn't really needing all his love languages, like that I wasn't needing what he really needed when it came to his affectionness, the affection and the sense of touch and everything. And I found out that I was a person in our arguments that I do a lot of stonewalling, where I shut down, I give you the blank face, I'm not listening anymore. I found out that, like I say, that he had resentment. I found out that we were being content and just holding on to a lot of things. I found out a lot in therapy. I suggest to anybody, please make that something on a regular in your relationship, whether you go for a couple of weeks, every 3 months, please make it. Don't just give up without using that, because I've learned so much with that about myself, not just my husband, about myself. I found out on top of, you know, with my sisters and everything, but I found out how I wasn't even tapped into myself. I'm sitting here pouring into my husband and my family from an empty cup, because I'm not even tapped into myself. And that is something that you cannot do. You have to be full to pour into others. And I had to learn that. That's another thing I learned through this process. I feel like I learned so much more about myself going through this process. So it's a bad thing that, yes, my husband stepped out on me. Yes, infidelity happened. But at the end of that, I learned so much about myself that the lesson I learned was greater than that infidelity.
Wow. You got me speechless on that one, because I want to just go back on something that you said real powerful. And that is, you know, I know that we, and I tell women this all the time, is that we are pouring and pouring, like you say, sometimes even pouring for an empty cup, from an empty cup. But that's not even the point, that the real point that I heard you make, which is sometimes what I'm pouring is not what my partner wants.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? Because you're saying like, hey, mm-hmm. I'm not, you know what I mean? He's telling me that I'm not doing this and this. And you probably would have swore that you was loving this man like no other. You know what I mean? Like you are just doing mm-hmm. everything that you can and that he should be, you know, grateful for, you know, all that you do. Not that he wasn't, but again, he's like, okay, what you're doing here is cool, but what I need over here is something totally mm-hmm. different. And I think that's the part sometimes we don't get.
We don't hear relation- it.
Yes. In our mm-hmm. relationships, because we want to love you the way we want to, which is I'm going to do these mm-hmm. clothes, I'm going to take care of this house, I'm going to take care of these kids, I'm going to have sex with you, you know, when I can, and bloop, 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 be happy, okay? But this man is over here mm-hmm. talking about, look, I need more than that. And since, you know, again, once we get in that routine, once you get in that schedule, once you kind of get things done, you know, the way that you want them, you know, when somebody now wants to act like you ain't doing something, you're looking at them like, are you crazy? You got to learn to be asking for more. Well, it's just because mm-hmm. we're not giving, you know, when you can give a lot, but that doesn't mean what you want. Like I say, you can give me all the steak that I want, but I keep asking you for chicken. You know what I mean? So exactly. it doesn't doesn't help me that you keep bringing me all this delicious steak. Love it, but I'm asking you for chicken. And so that's the problem that we have. So, what tools are you two using that's working? I know that you had mentioned, you know, spending the time together, definitely having these, the difficult talks sometimes, which we don't have enough of sometimes in our marriages, but how are you dealing more with, flashbacks and, anger? Those are the two questions that I'm getting some text messages from. How are you dealing with those? What tools are you getting so that you don't flip out and then just, you know, kind of just go backwards?
To be honest, you're going to always have that thought come back. You just don't have to react to it. That's another thing. Like, you really have to get you a support system, because one thing about my sisters and MSK, they teach you how to control your energy, how to control them. You don't have to let your anger take over you. You're more than welcome to get in that space. You're more than welcome to get upset, but you don't have to let that take over you. There's a bigger picture at the end of this. Like I say, with me, my bigger picture is I'm shooting for them 35 year anniversary, them 50 years anniversaries. And what I gain from this is so much greater than that infidelity situation. So I stay focused on my bigger picture. That's what keeps me motivated. Don't get me twisted. I look back in the rear view sometime and I may give him a dirty look. And he know what it is. He know that means, oh, it's time for me to go hang out maybe at my cousin's house or something, because she's tripping today. But at the end of the day, we come back. We come back together because our love and our bigger picture is greater than this.
Now, did you guys talk to the kids at all about what was going on? And how much did you share with the family that you live with?
Well, my children are in the house with us, so yes, they know. My outside family, the only people that I really went to was my uncle and my auntie, and like I said, I went to them because they had what I wanted. They are the couple in my family that has the 35 years, so I went to somebody who wasn't going to be in my ear like, oh my goodness, he ain't this, he ain't that, and you need to go, girl. No, I didn't go to them type of people, because you know who them type of people is. Mm-hmm. I choose not to go to them type of people because they can't give me the kind of information I need, because what I'm shooting for, they don't have. So I went to the ones who had that, or I went to the sister who wants that, or who been through some things, who could tell me both sides of some stories and stuff. I didn't want to go to the ones who just don't try to shoot my stuff down, because I want more. And that's what helped. That's what helped.
How did your kids react? Were they shocked? Have they had
Well, I have my 25-year-old son, so he was pissed. You know, he was very upset, like, for a couple of days, maybe about 2 weeks or so, he wasn't around him. My 11-year-old, that one, she's a daddy girl, so she did shed a tear or whatever, but she's more excited about seeing us go out again, and mom, you going out with your man and stuff like that. So she's happy to see the chemistry, you know, going, coming back, that her mommy and daddy is not going to be separated, that she's going to still have that in the home. And then, you know, my 3-year-old, no, he don't know.
Now, did you guys set him down and talk to him together? How did you give him the information?
Well, I actually gave out a little bit of the information, and I just had the conversation with my 11-year-old, let her know that we were having a little problem in the marriage and everything, and that we're basically working on things, and that, you know, it could end up either way. Like, either we can be like we are now, or we can end up where it's just all of us here and you go visit daddy on the weekends, like her older sister. So she understood. And like I say, she cried because she is a daddy's girl. But when she, now that she, like I say, she didn't see no separation. I didn't put him out. He didn't have to move. You know, we just had to talk. And she feels the love, and she sees all that. So I think she's really, really just rooting for that not to happen.
And has your husband and your son, have they had some type of man-to-man talk or anything that you are aware of?
Yeah, they have had a talk, but, you know, I don't get into their business or whatever. But yeah, they've had their discussions, and they said what they need to be said to each other. And my son said he feels fine now, so everything just pretty much going back into functioning. You know, the pretty much coming back together. You know, everybody coming back together.
Well, it would be almost crazy, I guess, maybe, for them not to be able to learn. I mean, you are showing them forgiveness. You know what I'm saying? You are showing them that, you know, we can find a way to get through this. And so if anybody should be more hurt, it should be you. So I'm sure that they are following your lead, your energy, your vibe, and knowing to trust mom, because mom's going to make sure that everything's going to be all right, which is the true thing. So great parenting and all of that on how you guys were able to not only tell the kids, but also reassure them, right, that everything was going to be all right. And even if it wasn't, we were still going to be all right. But the first thing they were going to see you do was going to see you work on the marriage. Before, like you say, they didn't see a reaction. They didn't see somebody close on the lawn and, you know, somebody busting windows out the car and all that type of stuff. They literally just was given the information, saw the transformation start right there in front of their eyes, which, again, I'm sure probably settled them more than it upset them. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I know one phase of recovery is rebuilding intimacy. We talked about the trust part. What does that look like for y'all? Or was it even hurt in the beginning?
Our intimacy is a lot better now. It was hurt a little bit because I was scared to be, you know, to just be safe around him again like that. I felt like, can I really, like, just be myself with you again like that? But now, you know, like I say, we're becoming friends again. We're dating again. We're having intimacy without the sex. And then, you know, our sex is really, really good. intimacy is good. We have no problem with getting that back.
Well, and you also said another thing that I feel like women keep saying all the time is that for the sexual intimacy, we still need to have that intimacy without the sex, as you just said. I like that phrase, right? Because there's just more. It's almost like, you know, constant foreplay where, you know, we are making sure that we still feel connected in this way, but it doesn't always have to go into sexual intimacy, but it definitely goes back into, especially when you have, like you said, a husband whose love language is touch, is just making sure that I take advantage of that and give him what he wants, right? And so that is very powerful. And I think sometimes that is the huge disconnect that we have sometimes in relationships, is that we don't have enough intimacy without sex, but then sex is expected. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And it usually don't, you know what I mean? And it usually don't work like that for a lot of women, right? Because we want, you know, yes, that not just the foreplay 2 minutes before, you know what I mean? We want the foreplay all day long. And then, you know, just have the day be full of an explosion of being able to finally come together. So I'm glad that you had brought that up. And I'm glad that you guys were able to get that together on a much quicker basis, because a lot of people, like you said, we don't want to be vulnerable, because we, during that time, you do have some of the biggest flashbacks, like, okay, what was you doing with this chick? And then it's kind of like, okay, game over. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I'm glad that you're not experiencing that. But there are some still other areas that I know it takes a while for people to go through. So I'm hoping that you are going to be able to share some really good steps. How did you get through, let's start with forgiveness. How did you get through that part? Or are you still forgiving? How does that work?
Forgiveness, I'm still working on that. Like, that right there, that's another one of the lessons I feel that I'm meant to learn in this situation. And I just keep telling myself that if I can be forgiven for the things I've done, I have to be willing to forgive as well. I can't be asking for forgiveness and not be willing to give it, no matter who the forgiveness is coming from. I can't be wanting a person to forgive me for my shortcomings, and I can't be willing to forgive nobody for theirs. Now, like I say, there's days, some days are better than the others, but we learned that he don't have to sit here and I treat him bad, or I don't have to treat him bad. I can sit here and just, you know, think about something, and if I need to, I go ride my bike, I go take a walk, I meditate, I listen to music. You have to do something to get you out of that space, because you will drown in that space. So I have to do things to get me out of that space. I color, I bake, I cook, I do whatever I can to get me out of that space. I may give that time, maybe it 15, 20 minutes, because that's the part of my life that happened. And it's not going to change, but I cannot focus on that. I cannot focus on the choice that he made. That is his choice. Everything that led up to him doing the choice in our marriage, that's ours, but that choice is his, and I cannot let his choice destroy me. I have to stay in a mentality of, what's my next step on Majestic's Rose Kitchen? What's my next step on Griffin Girls Sweet Dream? What's my next step on getting my girls to they brighter future? I'm looking for things like, I want to own things. I want to own land. I want generational wealth. And me worrying about that hour, 15 minutes or whatever it was, that's not going to get me where I'm trying to be. So I can't stay in that too long. So anything you can do to get out of that mentality, focus on something. If you got to go walk, if you got to go to the beach, go ride a bike, go walk your dog. I don't care what it is. Don't let that manifest in your head over and over and over, because there is a brighter thing at the end of that tunnel. There is something so much more brighter at the end of that.
And you know what? I couldn't even put it better. I'm not even going to be able to word it any better. But what you're really saying is making sure that we know we have the power to intentionally change our thinking. We don't have, I love yeah. when you said that, because I can stay in it for 10 or 15 minutes because I don't want to run from my emotions. But I also, just like you said, I don't want to stay in them so that it starts infecting my whole household. It's almost like you done cleaned up and now you done sit here and walked in with muddy boots. Okay. When you could have taken the boots off. Yes. You know what I mean? You could have taken them off right there at the door. It didn't change the mud, but you just ain't got to bring it in. You know what I mean? And carry it further and now have, you know, make it into a bigger problem. Now, when you get in those situations, when you do have to, like we're saying, intentionally change your thinking, do you let him know that this is what you're doing, or you just, or is it worth sharing?
No, he knows. We are connected enough where he tells when my energy changed, and he knows, like, if I'm going to take a shower right now, oh, you baking stuff? Okay, yeah, he sees. I'm not holding nothing back. I'm not, we moving with a lay it on the table right now. I don't want to hold nothing in. I'm not being content with nothing. If I get that little itch, I share it. I feel like that was another thing that was a big part of our problem. We were so busy, like, not trying to hurt the other one's feelings or being scared that if we share with one another that they're going to snap on us. And that was another thing that caused a lot of things in our marriage. So no, I'm we open like a book.
And you know, and that's another good point that you bring up is that, you know, I think that there's usually somebody in the marriage, and it could be, you know, male or female, doesn't matter, that is doing just what you're saying. We don't communicate how we're really feeling, and then it just starts building up and building up and building up until it turns into resentment. And your partner doesn't even know that you have the resentment in you because you haven't even expressed, but sometimes we don't do it, just like you said, because we don't want to mess up the mood, or we're tired of talking about it. We didn't talk about it so much. We're scared that it's going to cause an argument, all those things. But you know what? I'd rather face those type of things instead of keeping it inside, right? Mm-hmm. I'd rather us either argue about it or talk about it, or I got to bring it up the 600th time than not say anything. Because when I don't say anything, I'm going to get even a worse result. And that's going to be that inner result and that resentment. So good words of advice. Thank you for that. Now, I know that there are, you know, again, women that are thinking like, okay, if you had to tell them and make a speech about this, what advice would you, that we haven't covered already, would you give to women that are in this situation and really don't know sometimes what to do? You know, now they've been told that, you know, there's been some infidelity in their relationship and they don't know whether to stay, go, or what. What words of advice do you have?
Don't act off your reaction. Mm-hmm. I know in that time you are so mad, you are so fired up, and don't act off that. Think about it. And if your good and your marriage outweigh that bad, or if you learn a lesson that was greater than that experience, then go for what you know. If you want to stay, you stay. And if you don't, you don't. That's your choice. But don't just, oh, I'm gone because you didn't tell me. Because at the end of the day, it might be a lesson that you were supposed to learn, and that, and you can't learn that lesson if you just jumping up and acting off reaction.
Did you have lots of questions, you know, in the beginning, like, you know, who was she and, you know, how long? I mean, were you full? Did you need to have that information told to you, or was anger destroyed it so much that it wasn't necessary?
Everything I wanted to know, I asked my husband and he told me everything. The only thing I didn't ask for is full details of how it was done and all that stuff, but anything about how it led up, how he met her, how he did it, how they met, where he knew her from, how they were communicating, and what month it happened, and anything I needed to know to soothe my mind, he told me when I asked him. Like I say, only thing I didn't ask was intimate questions, because I don't give a damn about none of that, to be honest.
How was it hearing all that? I know you want, but I know you're asking the questions, but did you really want the answers?
I did it.
Wow.
I really did. I wanted to know, because I felt like if I was going to walk through this fire with him, I needed my answers. I needed my questions answered, or I wasn't going to be able to do it. Everything I did leading up to this was to secure my feelings, how I felt, to make me secure enough in this relationship to keep going. And like I say, sometimes you have to put your big girl drawers on and sit there and listen to things that you don't want to listen to. But if that's what's going to soothe your spirit and get you back into the place to where you're able to make it, then that's what you got to do. And that was something I needed to do. Those were the things that was getting my spirit back right. Those were the things that was making me be able to live in my marriage and to be the wife that I am and to be working on this marriage. So I needed that. That's not for everybody, but that's what I needed.
Did you, have you had to bare your souls, so to speak, or even answer to your children as into, you know, how you've reacted? Have they had any questions?
Not with my oldest, like I said, he's seen both sides. So he was really, his biggest thing was he was so surprised that he came out and told on himself, because he's from my first marriage, you know, his father didn't do that. So he's seen both sides. So with him, he's like, you know, whatever you want to do, mom. My one after him, my 16-year-old, she's so into herself right now. As long as he just like, okay, whatever, you know, just stay away out of my room, leave us alone, you know, leave me alone and stuff like that. You know, like I say, I'm breaking down the wall with her alone. So she didn't care what was going on. She was just like, looked at me like, oh, okay. But the main one who was, like I say, who was kind of, like I say, cried because she, all she know is her mom and dad been together is my 11-year-old.
Got you. That's something. Well, you have, I can't help but thank you for sharing your journey. I know it was, you know, you have to be at a place of, at least a healthier place in order to be able to share and help so many other people. But before I let you go, I do want to ask you about being a, woman entrepreneur, stay at home mom. How are you juggling all of that? And, you know, what are some tricks that you have learned that you can tell again, other women who are thinking about, hey, I want to start a business. How's that working for you?
All I can say is, don't give up on yourself. If you can dream it, then you can achieve it. I've been cooking since I was 9 years old, and I always felt just so connected to it, and it connects me to my grandmother. And I gave up on a lot of things, pouring into my family, but this brought me back to that. So just keep going for it, you know. Like, do whatever you got to do to make sure you following your dream, you living in your purpose. Everything can be accomplished just as long as you put your mind to it. It's not hard. Yes, if you feel like you the stay-at-home mom, there's something that you do at home that don't nobody else do, and that you can sell it, you can get it out there. I don't care if you're crocheting, knitting, sewing, baking cupcakes, doing hair. There's something you can do where you can still be at home and take care of the babies and still make your money on the side. Everybody got a little entrepreneur in them. I don't care. This is the new time. You have to get out there and get it by any means. I don't care if you just growing fruit, making your own jellies, and do it. That's what I say.
Now,
believe in yourself and do it.
How do the kids help out? And, you know, how did things change around in the household a little bit more so that you had time to do this? Did you do anything specific so that you could make the time to start the business or at least cook?
I have my son. He helps me because he actually cooks really good as well. My 11-year-old, she's the one who likes to walk around and pull the wagon that we have when we're out there at the soccer ball games. And we also, when we walk our dog, we have our wagon walking around the community. She told all her friends about her little candy house around here. And besides social media and family and basically my sisters and stuff like that, getting out to family and standing out here and pretty much parking lots at parks and everything on the weekends and stuff like that. Like this is something that has been a dream, and this situation has pushed me to chase it even more, and what I'm doing.
I love that. Do your was it easy for you to start it up? You know what I mean? Did you feel like were you scared? Did you have to make any shifts in the household specifically? When you're a stay-at-home mom, usually sometimes you kind of like doing everything because you kind of running things a little bit. What did you have to do to make the time?
Pretty much I started doing a lot of my baking because I'll get up early and I'm pretty much an early riser. So a lot of the times I do some of the baking there. I do my puddings then and stuff like that. And then if I know that I have like my 25 meal deal days on Saturdays, I make sure to keep my 15-year-old here so she can keep monitor of the 3-year-old. You know, we have to shift it around, you know, a little bit, but they're very helpful. I can say when it comes to that, they're very excited to see their mother, you know, going for it.
And usually sometimes
they believe in my meal, so
I bet they do. And sometimes again, we have to, I'm glad that you're saying, you know, we have to ask our kids to step up. You know, we have to make sure that they know that, you know, you're not living in a resort up in here. And now that I am going to be giving my time and energy to something else, that means that I'm going to take this off my plate and I'm going to put it on yours. So I'm always encouraging us as parents to remember that, you know, we still don't always have to do everything in the house. We shouldn't be doing everything in the house because we got these kids here. We should be giving them the life skills to help keep the whole household together. And when they pull some of your weight off, it allows you to do even if it's not even building a business. Sometimes it's just being able to be with your partner. Sometimes it's just being able to take care of yourself. But the whole thing is making sure that it wasn't anything that you just added onto your plate, that you took some things off of your plate so that, you know what I mean? So that this isn't a longer to-do list instead of, you know, because we already have enough. So that's where I really was, you know, making sure that our parents understand is that these things are doable, but they have to be doable when your family and your support team is there to help you take some things off your plate so you can either go back to school or start baking or knitting or just like you were saying, but you can't do everything. You know what I mean? You can't keep doing everything and then add that at the end of the day. You don't have the energy for that. And usually what that means is there's going to be a relationship that's probably going to have to suffer if that is also how you do it. And as we know, we don't want our relationships to suffer with these good men we done picked. So we have to make sure that we delegate. And I'm glad that you're saying like, hey, this one of them will come and watch the baby. Somebody else pulling wagons. Somebody else is, you know, doing some other stuff. And I'm not doing it all by myself and still taking care of them as well. So we appreciate that. All right. Before I kick you off, tell us what's next on where can they find you again? What's next on your menu that you are going to be cooking? Because you do sweets and regular food too, right?
Yes, I do. You can find me on Facebook at Mrs. Molly Griffin, or you can also find me on Instagram at Majestic Rose Mrs. Griffin. I do wings. I have different flavors of wings. One of my specialties is I do a Henny Honey Buffalo wing. I also do lemon pepper and everything like that. For my sweets, I do a Biscoff cookie cupcake as well. I also do a peach cobbler pudding. That's another one that's my special. Oh, I also have a Kahlua based cupcake that's really good for the adults as well. You know, you can stop by the website to check me out and DM me or email me at mz.mylik@gmail.com.
I got you, Queen. Thank you so much again, Malik, for sharing so much, being so open, helping out so many women. My phone is still blowing up. There's just so many thank you, thank you, thank yous. They really appreciated what you had to give. Have a great weekend, Queen, and I'll be talking to you soon as usual.
All right. Everybody take care.
Infidelity shakes the foundation of love and trust, yet it can also awaken profound growth, maturity, and transformation. Recovery is not easy. It demands truth, humility, courage, and emotional effort from both partners. But for those who dare to walk this path, the reward can be worthwhile. A relationship that is built on authenticity and conscious choice. Through structured guidance, empathy, and shared commitment, couples can transform the ashes of betrayal into the foundation of a stronger, wiser, and more loving union. Trust can be rebuilt, love can be reborn, and healing is possible. So, I guess that wraps it up for me today. Thanks for tuning in and listening. We can stay connected on my social media outlets, my Facebook page, If Nothing Changes, Nothing Changes Life Coaching, my Instagram page, at Coach Deidre, and past podcasts can be heard on CoachDeidre.com. So I'll be back with the new show Friday, the 29th at noon on the one and only Inner Light Radio. I hope you'll tune in again. Until then, I hope you'll be doing more than paying bills and waiting to die. Go live. This is Deidre, your life coach, reminding you, if you want to make a change in your life, do it. Because if nothing changes, nothing changes.